So a question for Rob from the floor. So you talked about the frozen subsystem boundaries in aerospace decades without disruption. Has persistent government subsidy of their home country aerospace companies contributed to the big freeze?
So I think the difficulty in aerospace is that the distance from the original ideas to bring it into product is so large. So you can't do that without subsidy. It's not the same as doing a tech startup in your back bedroom. You know, so you've got to do some form of subsidies. I think what has attracted governments is gearing and funding gearing. And so if, you know, my knowledge is the British government, they require 50% gearing. Now, as soon as you do that, the companies who can provide the gearing get the funding from government. And that does bias it towards the status quo. It does. It does. But I do think it's important to fund these, the aerospace sector. If you don't, then you won't have an aerospace sector.
Thanks very much. Now, so the other thing is that we've heard, I mean, over the last few days, and we know it from the press, there's a lot of significant policy developments, both here in the UK and in the US. You know, in the US, they passed this US Innovation and Competition Act, decisions being made about how to spend huge amounts of money on science and technology. In the UK, we're about to publish the innovation strategy and confront a major spending review. So I guess just to end the Q&A, because we don't have much time, what's the one thing you would advise governments to kind of, in terms of what one thing could they do in the near term to help unlock our ability to do more in this, to better mobilize the partnership? So I'll start first with Dorota and then with Rob.
That's a great question, Thomas. I happen to be on PICAS, on President Council of Science, of Advisors on Science and Technology, when we essentially advise the government, select your priorities and invest money in those priorities. Make sure that it's done fast, it's executed in agile manner and not the usual government type of a undertaking when it takes a year to select, it takes another year to even allocate the money and 3 years to get some results. We did emphasize agility, and I think Rob was talking about it very nicely, breaking the silos and focusing on agility and less regulatory matters related to research. I think what we see in the US government spending agencies or research supporting agencies is a little bit too regulation, too much regulation, very, very long process from the submission of proposals to allocation of money. So this has to collapse. And I want to again emphasize that the IRVA, which I discussed at the very beginning, very briefly, this was in the making for a number of years. So this is really, really a high time for US to have this organization and fully launch and deploy, because if IRVA is successful, we all will be successful, because we all know, and it's been emphasized by a number of speakers, how important it is to bring the multidisciplinary communities together and actually work on those giant, huge problems facing the society.
Great. And Rob, last word on this.
Okay, so focus is key. Resources are limited. The real problem is government prepared to have good taste? You know, if you try and spread it thinly, if you try and go through peer review, you're going to go for relatively low risk projects. You're going to not have much impact. So you've got to. Who are you going to trust to make that good taste? And I think that is the key challenge. Once the money's given, you need to be clear about objectives. You've got to be prepared to cut projects if they're not working, but you've got to take your hands off. Deliverable and milestones I go on about will just fix you on one path, and that will doom a project to failure.
Great. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for the really interesting keynotes. I think they've really helped set up the discussions for the breakouts.